Hey, future doctors, welcome back to Spoonful of Sugar. Please welcome our host, Felina Thomas, a third-year medical student at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, Georgia campus. She will be discussing viscerosomatic reflexes, a high-yield topic for our osteopathic colleagues.
Future doctors, thanks for tuning in to Spoonful of Sugar, a podcast made for medical students by medical students to help the medicine go down. My name is Felina Thomas. I'm a student at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, and I will be your host today. One of the highest and most confusing topics for DO students are the viscerosomatics. There are also somatovisceral, viscerovisceral, and somatosomatic reflexes, but these are much lower yield. We'll be going through different questions to help refresh your memory on the topic and help prepare for COMLEX. Please don't worry if you get anything wrong, this is just for practice. I'm also just going to mention a short disclaimer that sources vary on the exact ranges for viscerosomatics, but the ranges mentioned in this episode, along with the clinical presentation in a question, should be enough to help differentiate between answer choices on an exam. Our first question, what is a viscerovisceral reflex? So a viscerovisceral reflex is when a visceral stimuli causes a visceral response. An example of this is when gastric distension causes increased GI motility. For these, the first part of the word is the stimuli and the second is the response. So viscerovisceral means a visceral stimuli and a visceral response. And again, just a general rule of thumb, visceral has to do with organs and somatic has to do with the musculoskeletal system. Our next question, what type of reflex is a patient having if their asthma is worsened by a somatic dysfunction at T3? So this one is tricky, but it would be a somatovisceral reflex because the patient has a somatic stimuli, the injury at T3, with a visceral response, the worsening of their asthma. What type of reflex is a tight scalene causing generalized neck pain? So this would be somatosomatic because a somatic dysfunction causes a response in the musculoskeletal system. So now we're going to get more into the high yield content. What is a viscerosomatic reflex? A viscerosomatic reflex is when a visceral stimuli, like a myocardial infarction, causes a somatic dysfunction, like pain in the left arm and jaw. A lot of times, the somatic dysfunction will be at certain levels of the spine, and this is what's tested most frequently on the COMLEX. So, for example, a patient with GERD might have a somatic dysfunction at the levels of T2 through T7, which are the levels of the esophagus. What are the viscerosomatic levels for the heart and the lungs? So for the heart, the levels are T1 through T5, and for the lungs, the levels are T2 through T7. One mnemonic that I like to use is that we have one heart, so the range for the heart starts with T1, and we have two lungs, so the range for the lungs starts with T2. What structures are included in the foregut when talking about viscerosomatics. So the foregut includes the stomach, the liver, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the spleen, and the proximal duodenum. Now, what are the viscerosomatic levels for the foregut? The levels for the foregut are T5 through T9. What are the viscerosomatics of the midgut? The viscerosomatics of the midgut are T10 through T11. Remember that the midgut is the distal duodenum, jejunum, ileum, appendix, cecum, ascending colon, hepatic flexure, and proximal two-thirds of the transverse colon. I know that's a lot, so I like to think of just the starting and ending points of the midgut. So I remember that the midgut is everything from the distal duodenum all the way to the last one-third of the transverse colon, and I just remember that everything in between those points is part of the midgut. This helps make it easier for me to remember. A 78-year-old man comes in with a fever and left lower quadrant pain. He has struggled with constipation in the past and consumes a low-fiber diet. At what levels would we expect to see somatic dysfunction? So this patient most likely has diverticulitis, which most often presents in the sigmoid colon, which is part of the midgut. So we would expect a dysfunction at the levels between T12 and L2. T12 through L2 covers all of the hindgut, which includes the last one-third of the transverse colon, the descending colon, the sigmoid colon, and the rectum. Another way to think about this, again, is that it starts from the last one-third of the transverse colon all the way to the rectum. A 52-year-old woman comes in with a fever, oliguria, and pain while urinating. At what levels would we expect to find a somatic dysfunction? So this patient has a UTI, so we could expect to find a somatic dysfunction anywhere from T10 through L2. Breaking that down further, the kidneys and upper ureters would have a dysfunction at T10 through T11, the lower ureter and bladder would have a dysfunction from T11 through L2. So putting those together, that's where we get the range of T10 through L2. Just one more time, the kidneys and upper ureters would have a dysfunction between T10 and T11, while the lower ureter and bladder will have a dysfunction from T11 through L2. A 14-year-old boy comes to the ED due to severe right lower quadrant pain and a fever of 102 degrees. Ultrasound confirms appendicitis. Where would we expect to find a somatic dysfunction? So here we would expect to find somatic dysfunction at T12. This is one of the few reflexes where we find the dysfunction at one specific level. A 37-year-old woman comes into the ED with a crampy, swollen, erythematous right calf. D-dimer is elevated and ultrasound confirms a deep vein thrombosis. Where would we find a visceral somatic reflex? This is lower yield, but a somatic dysfunction associated with the lower extremity would be found at the levels T11 through L2. A 67-year-old male comes in to the office for difficulty urinating. Physical exam confirms an enlarged prostate, and lab tests show an elevated PSA. Where would we expect to find a somatic dysfunction? This patient likely has BPH, so we would expect a somatic dysfunction at the levels of T12 through L2, which are the levels for the prostate. A 24-year-old woman comes in with complaints of irregular periods and hair loss. She also has visible acne and facial hair growth. Where would we expect a somatic dysfunction? This patient likely has PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, so we would expect to see a dysfunction at T10 through T11. These are the levels for the ovaries as well as for the testes. A 50-year-old woman that recently underwent a right axillary node dissection presents with swelling of the right upper extremity. Where would we expect to see a viscerosomatic reflex? So lymphatic congestion in the right upper extremity could cause a somatic dysfunction between T2 and T8. The viscerosomatics for the upper and lower extremities are lower yield, but they do sometimes show up. A 14-year-old girl comes into the office with facial pain and nasal congestion. Physical exam reveals red, watery eyes, yellow nasal discharge, and frontal and maxillary sinus tenderness. Structural exam will most likely show sympathetic viscerosomatic changes at which levels. So for anything involving the head and the neck, here we can see that the patient has sinusitis. We would expect to see somatic changes at the levels of T1 through T4. This is a much broader question, but how can we treat a viscerosomatic reflex? So there are a lot of potential answers, but I just wanted to remind you of a few. We have rib raising, which reduces the sympathetic tone in the thoracic area. We also have soft tissue and myofascial techniques, and this can improve circulation to the area and reduce pain in those areas. And we also have muscle energy, which can specifically treat a certain spinal level and in that way treat the somatic dysfunction. So I just wanted to remind you guys of a few of those possible treatments. So now let's do some rapid fire review questions over what we've talked about. What type of reflex is present when an injured pectoralis muscle causes a patient to have tachycardia? So this would be a somatovisceral reflex, because again, when talking about these reflexes, remember that the first part of the word is the stimuli and the second is the response. So an injured pectoralis muscle would be somatic and the tachycardic response would be visceral. What type of reflex is seen when a patient has a sprained ankle that later causes back pain? So this would be somatosomatic because we have a sprained ankle, which is a somatic stimuli, causing back pain, which is a somatic response. What type of reflex is seen when a patient with cholecystitis has referred pain to the right shoulder? So this would be viscerosomatic because we have a visceral stimuli, the cholecystitis, causing a somatic response, the pain in the right shoulder. And just to tie in another fact that you'll need to know, the referred pain is due to the phrenic nerve being irritated. Now, what are the viscerosomatics for the pancreas? The viscerosomatics for the pancreas are T5 through T9. Remember again that the pancreas is part of the foregut, and the foregut includes the spleen, pancreas, liver, gallbladder, stomach, and first part of the duodenum, and the range for any of these organs is T5 through T9. What are the viscerosomatics of the bladder? So the viscerosomatics for the bladder are T11 through L2. And remember, these are also the levels for the lower ureters. Where would we see a viscerosomatic change in the case of hemorrhoids? For hemorrhoids, we would see a viscerosomatic response in the range of T12 through L2, because this is the range for the hindgut, which, remember, includes the rectum. If you've been paying close attention, I want to just remind you guys that the midgut, kidneys, upper ureters, and gonads are all at the levels of T10 through T11. This is one last reminder that sources vary on the exact ranges, but the ranges used in this episode and the clinical presentation should be enough to help you with questions you may encounter on exams. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to our podcast. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, visit our website at spoonfulofsugar.org and post them under the link for this episode. Good luck with studying, and remember that if you ever have an SOS moment while studying, Spoonful of Sugar is always here to help.